So these are in no particular order because I don't want to give any. Well, they're actually in alphabetical order of title in my version. Alphabetical order of title because I don't want to give anybody any ideas what might come up in the first five. And we're still going to get about to the material yet. So don't say this is a preview. Sherwood Smith is publishing with Norilana Books. I've never heard the name, but she's doing kind of feisty princesses in an imaginary kingdom in a nicely feminist way, with also a bit of common sense about how you have to learn quite a lot of things before you can be a good princess. This would be a very good corrective for girls with too many lots of fairy wings and sparkles. It's just being a princess is serious work, and you've got to study geography and your languages, and you shouldn't get engaged at 15, even if he is really cute. The Posse of Princesses is just one of the Norilana kids published about 17 of them. But they're all very fine correctives to foolish ideas girls might get from Disney cartoons. Starship's Black Star is actually an adult anthology about pirates. I loved it at 15. I still loved it. There's some science fiction, some fantasy. I've got a strong feeling the Paige Baker story is actually mainstream, but it's terrific. Read it, it's really good. Ink Strange by Melissa Marr is thoroughly in the YA mould. It starts out with, you know, the girl who has troubles with her alcoholic father, and her mother's either dead or disappeared, and her brother's a not very nice boy with troubles with drugs, and she is going to get out of all her problems by getting a tattoo. It's extremely YA. It's a bit too conventionally YA for me. I'm starting to get a little bit fed up with anything that starts with the I am being bullied at school because all the other kids are horrible. Now, I was bullied at school. We were all bullied at school, right? But I don't want to... Sorry, just about him. Her brother kissed her to his mate to pay off the troubles.
That's hinted at in first three chapters.
It goes further.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does. That's real problem.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't put it. I'll be honest, that's one of my books.
Yeah.
And I don't sell that to 14-year-olds. It's quite promising. It deals with male rape as well.
Of course, but it's marketed as YA.
No.
Definitely marketed.
Oh, that's fine.
And I don't like that myself. I really like a YA book. It can deal with difficult problems of life, but I do like to see the true nastiness really reduced. And I didn't like the nastiness in that, I have to admit. These aren't necessarily... I'm not saying these are the very best books, but these are... It's been pushed very hard. It's very much a YA book of 2008. You'll see it everywhere. Kids of a certain sort will really love it. There's a whole lot of fairies who are not very nice, involved in sexual hygiene, which are not very nice. It's generally a fear of sex in the adult world and that kind of stuff. It's nicely written. I'm not saying these are all fantastic. What I'm saying is these are big books and interesting.
And the kids will like them.
And
well,
I have a horrible feeling that a whole lot of 14, 16-year-olds will absolutely eat it up. And so my life is better than that.
Yes, I used to do that with Thomas Covenant novels.
Love is another big book being marketed to YA is Love is Hell, which is five or novellas. Maoist, Bell, Loveless, D.O.Z. and so on. Now, from a world fantasy point of view, the best story, I thought, in my humble opinion, was the Scott Westerville, which is pure science fiction, but it's terrific, and any right-thinking boy or girl from 12 to 18 should just eat it up. That's totally ineligible. Not a hint of that. Mind the Gap was not to my taste. It's once more a girl who's been having the typical
issues,
the typical modern issues novel with fantasy. The girl's having a shit of a time, basically, and she gets into this rather nasty fantasy world. Not my thing, but kids with some issues will find life is a lot better in the book than in bed, a lot better in real life than in the book, and you know, it comes to a resolution. And very, very zingy, very commercial, very fast-paced, getting the light and underwood round.
And people have just come in, there's a handout down the back on the back table if you want to grab a copy.
And yes. I'm summarising some of the biggest, not necessarily the very best, but some of the biggest and most interesting of the novels that would be interesting to kids and YAs, from what's been sent to me for World Fantasy Award judging, which is about half of what I'm going to get by the end of April. So it's going to be a very big couple of months coming up. Terry Pratchett's Nation has won about 500 awards, including
Graveyard Book.
Yeah. Oh, yes, The Nation won all of this. And I think it's actually Pratchett's best. It's really touching and charming. I thought probably 10 to 12, but I did recommend that my husband read it, and he's a little older than that.
I've just put 14 plus, because generally that's sort of where young adults gets marketed at. So some of these books may be for younger people as well, and
right.
I'm looking through some younger ones as well.
There's nothing sexual in this as well. There's a threat from it. But she is beautiful. She's strong and tough girl. Nice book. Nice feminist book as well.
I've got a lot of people into Nation expecting a Terry Pratchett book where it's not very subtle, but I found Nation to be really, really subtle.
Oh, it was lovely. I really do think it's the best thing he's done. I particularly like The Witch's Bones. Which I cycle in that way. Pandemonium is for the oldest YAs. It's confronting. It hasn't got the icky stuff that ink exchanges got. You know, there's nothing really nasty, but it's a world where cartoonish demons may or may not be possessing random people around the world, but mostly America. So there's the artists. So people will be walking through an airport and suddenly start breaking things and smashing things and using found things to make artistic pieces. Like a picture of a 1950s farmhouse out of crushed glass and empty bottles and liquid that they're putting on the ground, stuff like that. It's very cool. It's won, I think, at least several awards, and probably this would not be one for any but the more advanced 15-year-olds. But of course, all your children will be very advanced 15-year-olds, right?
Oh, of course. Even my 3-year-olds are advanced 15-year-olds.
This is really an adult novel, but kids will relate. Now, of course, I was reading totally uncertain things at 12, but, you know, we'll ignore that.
Disclaimer. It's all up to you if you want to choose them for children and young adults to be responsible for your own choices. It's not our fault.
Yes, thank you. If you're giving many of these to kids, have a glance at it. Many of these are more like 15 plus or 16 plus. Paper Stitches by Ekater Anastasia is one of the more intellectual of the anthologies that's come out. A very intellectual 15 or 16 year old will be enchanted. And a more athletically inclined 12 year old will throw it across the room. Royal Exile.
This one hasn't fallen off the bottom of your handout, but I'll post this to the Slunk on this.
Fiona McIntosh's Royal Exile appears to be marketed to adults, but it appeared to me really quite suitable for anybody from about 12, and some of the protagonists are really very young. It's one of those fat fantasies with a range of ages all having big adventures simultaneously. I think a 12-year-old with a good reading age who can cope with somebody's father being killed in the first chapter, which doesn't happen, but that's all it's meant for. Would enjoy it. Gregory Frost's Shadow Visions or Tophet, once more higher end of young adult. It's marketed for adults. I've adored it. A very feisty girl as protagonist. She's absolutely terrific. Of course, she has the nasty experience as a child and an adolescent that she has to run away with. There is the attempted rape, but it's only attempted. And then she has astonishing experiences in an astonishing world. Still probably won't lose, so don't start spinning. I still haven't seen Sean Tan's Tales of Asperger, probably haven't seen it, but I believe that it's going to be very suitable for people of all ages. Kingdom Morsels by Margot Lanigan, which is marketed as YA, I found confronting personally. I wouldn't give it to anybody under 40. But anybody over 40, you
can
give
it to me.
When I even just read the synopsis, I thought, whoa, I would find it. It put me off reading it.
What's it about?
Well, there's incest, there's rape incest, there's having children as a result of the rape incest.
The story in Dreaming Again was set in a drowned Sydney, a global warming Sydney.
Oh, okay. There's a story in Jonathan Strawn's Eclipse 2, which is also about love and us, child abuse, but it's a completely different world. And
is this a sort of a retelling of, is it Snow White and Rose Red?
It's
fairy tale.
There's men who turn into bears, there's evil dwarves with long beards, there's mudwives who are kind of hitchy wives and generally not all that nice. It's a great book, but I would not give to anybody under 40 years. Patricia McKillop's The Bell at Sealy Head is being marketed to adults, but would be perfectly suitable for a nice girl of 12. Lovely book, delightful. Anybody who likes and very, very gentle, very sweet, I couldn't put it down. She writes really, really stunningly.
Please go and read her.
Yeah. She won the Lifetime Achievement Award for World Fantasy last year, even though she's only 62 and she's supposed to be 65 or 58 or 62 or something like that.
Ageist.
Yes. Sean Williams, The Changeling and Dust Devils. very much for children. Very nice. Set in a old Australia with gypsies. The Graveyard book by Neil Gaiman, which has won all the awards but Nation hasn't won, really does deserve it. I'm totally unsure about the age it's aimed at because the protagonist, who is called Nobody, or for short, starts out at 2 years old and ends up at 15, and it's very scary. I was absolutely petrified. In fact, I was still a little bit scared. So don't give it to any delicate 12-year-old.
So just the first chapter particularly could be very disturbing.
But it's all scary.
But if you've got your parent, if a child with parent separation issues, not a good one.
It starts with the throats of all families. It was 2 year old being split. Yes. I would not give it to a 7-year-old. House of the Stag by Paige Baker is an adult book, but it's charming and subversive and would do any intelligent 14 to hit a whole lot of good from a feminist and atheist angle. I'd love it. The Long Walk by Richard Park is YA, but not YA in the we start with issues kind of way, but YA in a really cool magician with a really cool sidekick who's a dwarf who wants to be treated like an ordinary human being, and why shouldn't he be? And the kid who turns up to be the YA focus, you think is incidental for a very long time. Very cunning wizard, very nice, and very famous. The Magician and Mrs. Quint by Galen Beckett is marketed as a adult. It's kind of Jane Austen with magic, and a girl who's mad about Jane Austen would love it. There's a lot of kind of magic and war stuff that the right sort of boy might be interested in. I skipped it, I'm afraid. But it's very impressive in some areas. Jeffrey Gore's The Shadow Year is winning all the grown-up awards this year in mainstream as well as genre. It's a coming of age. Well, not really coming of age. The kids in it are young, but it's being looked at from the perspective of an older person looking back on a very strange year with very strange things. It's mainstream literary. Mainstream judges will think it's mainstream. It's very literary. It's beautifully written. The prose is absolutely stunning. It's going to scoop a lot of literary awards. I have no idea how it's going to go in the world of fantasy, but it's hugely written, and once more, something that you don't give to an 8-year-old, you give too much care, and the prize is just too hard, but the bright 15-year-old could eat it up.
Now the next two have fallen off your list, but you're up there.
Alison Goodman, who is a good friend of mine, and is an absolutely delightful woman, has written The Two Pearls of Wisdom, which is being marketed crossover YA and adult. Russell read it and was quite surprised when I said it's being marketed YA, because Pete had a ball, he's over 50. He said, oh. But, you know, it's very suitable. It's not going to... I wouldn't give it to an 8-year-old, but anybody 13 plus is going to love it. Very fast paced, very subtly written. It's the subtle kind of writing that you will never notice the craft in. And for my last one, it's another adult book that an older YA would like. Thunderer by Phyllis Gilman has a range of misfit people of various ages in a very strange world, doing very strange things, and yeah, it's cool. It's very cool. They have airships. They have strange gods. Not for an 8-year-old. Too complicated. Too long.
Jenna. Thank you, Jenny. That's wonderful. Those are great. And probably the princesses sounds like it's right up my aisle, at least. And so does Shadow Bridge and stuff. So I looked at, through my library studies reading and then just looking around to avoid my assignment, looked at books that have either won awards recently, are being very highly marketed, or are being very highly marketed, or that I felt typified a bit of a trend that I'd come across. I haven't read all of them. Some of them have been out for a couple of years, the first one in particular, but they might not be things you've heard of because they might not have been released here at the time. So the first one, The Hunger Games, came out last year and was a runner-up for the Newbery Award.
Minor, that award.
Sorry?
It's a joke,
sorry. Oh. and has been acclaimed as so original, but you won't think it's original when you hear what it's about. It's 24 are forced to enter. Only the winner survives. In the ruins of a place once known as North America lies the nation of Panem, a shining capital surrounded by 12 outlying districts. Each year, the districts are forced by the capital to send one boy and one girl between the ages of 12 and 18 to participate in the Hunger Games, a brutal and terrifying fight to the death televised for all of Panem to see. So what was that seven, that Japanese one about the TV reality show where they kill people? Sorry? Yes, very similar to that. Been highly acclaimed, strong female protagonist, which I think we may notice seems to be a trend going on with what's new fantasy and young adult science fiction.
Just the ones
we like. The ones that are getting to for our attention. The sequel is coming out very soon. So again, award winning, topped a lot of people's lists for best young, and it is a science fiction novel, dystopic science fiction. And that's one of the trends that you'll pick up on, is dystopias. Like in the mid-early 80s, where everything was post-apocalyptic nuclear war, now we have post-apocalyptic environmental / terrorism / something else horrible happening, so lots of dystopias. For example, the next two, Life as We Knew It and The Dead and the Gone. Suspend your scientific disbelief here, Andrew, and everybody else. Basically, an asteroid heads toward the Earth, but impacts with the Moon and sends the Moon closer to the Earth. Moon's orbit shifts closer to the Earth, and there's a huge environment. Suspend away, Andrew. Suspend your disbelief for a moment then, and it's about the changes that are wrought to the planet, the big environmental changes and catastrophe. In a way, it's a way to have your asteroid hit the planet Earth and changes things without wiping out the entire population of the planet type novel. The second one, the first one, Life as We Knew It, set rurally, strong female character. The second one, The Dead and the Gone, set in New York with a very strongly religious male character and his sister. And the third one is currently being written. Again, very popular and very well publicised. Stephen Baxter's The H-Bomb Girl has won a number of awards, and this is what I found. Was there was a lot of science fiction, i.e. disaster apocalypse science fiction, a lot of fantasy, but not a lot of what I thought grapple with science stuff, but The H-Bomb Girl is a straight up science fiction time travel novel, and it sounds great. The book is set in Liverpool in 1962, a place of time and danger and passion. A thrilling new music is bursting on the grey streets of the post-war city, a music that electrifies, a music that promises to change everything. But in Cuba, on the other side of the earth, nuclear tensions are at breaking point. The end of the whole world could just be days away. And at the heart of it all is 14-year-old Laura Mann. She's on the run, hunted by strange forces fighting over for the future of humanity. Laura is the H-bomb girl, and Laura is about to discover that her own life is at stake in ways she could never have imagined. And it involves multiple time travels and an attempt to change history, etc. And then they're finding this changed history in a not good way of things. But highly recommended. The sort of science fiction that I think I would have loved, because I grew up on those, the boys, well, because that's pretty much all there was when we were growing up on the boys' science stuff, I would really have liked it. Now, the next one is a short story collection, The Starry Rift. This came out last year in hardback in the US, but it hasn't been released here. You were able to get it at Planet Books, but they sold about 10 copies hardback, which was great, but it's coming out this year in paperback and trade will be available here. Edited by our own wonderful Jonathan Strawn. Had very good reviews. Authors, I'll just name some authors. Cory Doctorow, Greg Egan, Neil Gaiman, Gwyneth Jones, Margot Lanigan, Garth Nix, Scott Westerfeld, just some of the authors. Collection aimed specifically at young adults for science fiction as well. So something well worth, and perhaps well worth having in schools. Might be a good collection for schools for short stories and work. The Forest of Hands and Teeth. Now this book is just about to be released, and I had a picture of it on the first page. In the middle there. I think it's a wonderful title. And I think this is the beginning of a trend in young adult fiction that's crossed over from horror. This is your young adult zombie novel. To replace the young adult vampire novel, or perhaps move it on. And really, really interesting that she's tackled the zombie fiction in a way that sounds great.
Is that the one where they don't actually mention that zombie in there at all?
The Unconsecrated, they are called. They're called the Unconsecrated because it's a post-apocalyptic world where there appears to have been some sort of virus. But it's what all these people don't know turned people to zombies. And this is a surviving community run by nuns. And it's very strictly controlled, very strict rules, and there's a fence that the zombies can't get in. And of course, nobody's allowed out to the Forest of Hands and Teeth. And our protagonist, her mother used to tell her about oceans, that oceans existed. And that but there are a lot of people who now don't believe anything could exist. So she wants to see the ocean. And it's been now so long since the zombies came that people are starting to doubt that they're real or that they exist at all. I would recommend you visiting the website. Just type in Forest of Hands and Teeth or Carrie Ryan and it'll take you to the website. They're clearly expecting this to sell. They've made a movie trailer for it. It's not being made into a movie, but they have made a trailer for the book as though it were a film trailer. So it's a lot of stuff. Actually, remember that, mention that. If you go to the websites for a lot of these books, there are amazing things on the website for a lot of these advertising for these books. Behind the scenes with the author, interviews with the author, extra chapters, as I said, a little movie trailer for this. There's all sorts of stuff for these works for you to look at. No. So really, really worthwhile. And I've got an extract here if anyone wants to have a read at some point. But it sounds like it's going to be a great book, and the sequel has been written and is coming out, the trilogy. But past that, let's have some fun. And one of my favourite recent authors is Australia's Justine Larbalestier, who many of you know as a critic, first of all, and who brought out the groundbreaking work Daughters of Earth about feminist science fiction 20th century history. And then she has a trilogy of young adult fantasy novels, beginning with the first one called Magic or Madness, which rewrote the trope of magic. And magic or madness is literal. Either you practice the magic or you go mad. But practicing the magic has its consequences, so you have to make a choice. Justine has just released this wonderful, wonderful, light-hearted, thoroughly enjoyable young adult novel, fantasy one called How to Ditch Your Fairy, set in a sort of slightly in future alternative world in a city called New Avalon, which is the best city in the world, in the way that many people in, say, New York or Sydney or Los Angeles or London or Paris, their city is the best city in the world. In this world, you have a fairy. And your fairy, no one's ever seen a fairy, but they give you powers and give you luck in a way. And I'll just read you a little bit so you can, to give you a taste. She's come up with her own slang. And the girl in this is sports mad, and she goes to a specialist sports school, which is me like, actually it's a horror story in itself, 10 hours a day. It's called 10 hours a day. You know, it's incredibly strict, but it shows a lot about what sports people have to go through, and their curriculum has public relations is one of their subjects they study. Math is all about accounting and working out your tax so that your accountant doesn't rip you off with your money, or that you can work out your cricketing averages and stuff. I have a parking fairy. I'm 14 years old. I can't drive. I don't like cars. and I have a parking fairy. Rochelle gets a clothes shopping fairy and is always well attired. I get a parking fairy and always smell faintly of petrol. How fair is that? I love clothes and shopping too. Yes, I have a fine family, and yes, Rochelle's family is malodorous. She does deserve some kind of compensation. But why couldn't I have, I don't know, a good hair fairy? Or not even that deuce, a loose change-finding fairy. Lots of people have that fairy. Rochelle's dad, Sandra's cousin, Mum's best friend's sister. I'd wholly settle for a loose change fairy. It can be arduous hanging out with Rochelle. She always looks doozy in her perfect clothes. And sometimes I get bored going shopping with her all the time, even when a fairy is working for me. And then it goes on to tell about it. So you get a thing that has a lovely list at the back of the known fairies. The known fairies. There is the bacon fairy. Always ensures your bacon is cooked how you like it. The bladder fairy. You only ever need to go there to toilet around. The cat fairy. All cats like you. The charisma fairy. And that's how people become famous. The clean clothes fairy. No one will ever spill tomato sauce on your white shirt again, etc. The ears like a fox fairy. The existence of this fairy is only rumoured. Oddly enough, only teachers and parents seem to have it. The grip fairy. One of the students at the school has it. He can't, anything he picks up stays in his hands until he decides to let it go. He's a champion water polo player. All sorts of wonderful fairies, the never getting lost fairy, etc. And the story is Charlie's sick to death of having a parking fairy because she's used by everybody in the neighbourhood since she's a baby. They put her in the car and they drive places so they can get parking and take her away. And she's even kidnapped by people who get good parking at night. So I highly recommend this. It's available in your mainstream bookshops as well as your specialist bookshops. Lots of fun. The next one, Finnegan of the Rock, is by Australia's Melina Marchetta and won the Aurealis Award last year for Best Young Adult Fantasy or Science Fiction. Melina Marchetta was highly honoured this year to win what's called the Michael Prince Award, which is the big American award given out for the best young adult fiction of the year in the world, English fiction, and she won it for her wonderful book On the Jellicoe Road. Which I highly recommend, not fantasy at all, but a gripping and wondrous novel, complex. Finnegan of the Rock, yes, is out and highly, highly, highly recommended. As you all know, Twilight is the flavour of the month and has been for a while, but many of us find its politics at least to be objectionable, let alone its writing. And I haven't read this, but I've heard recommended to me an American author called Rachel Kane, who has written a series called The Morganville Vampires, and set in Texas with college students, much better written and much perhaps not so terrified that your daughter's going to think someone breaking into her room and watching her while she sleeps is romantic, as it happens in Twilight. I'd also like to publicise our very own Shiny magazine by 12 Planet Press, with Lisa Krasnostein and Tahani Wesley, who are editors. And you've got a flyer in your handout for Shiny magazine. They come out 3 times a year, I think it is, and issue 4 is coming out soon. And one of their short stories won the Aurealis for Best Short Story for Young Adult Fantasy Science Fiction. So that's just a taste of some of the young adult stuff coming out at the moment. And then I went back. I thought, damn it, kids need science fiction too. So the first one I want to mention is called Mars Needs Moms, because it's American. And there's a little picture on the front, down the bottom. Percy Brecht, you may know, wrote the Bloom County cartoon series, then the Outland cartoon series, and the Opus, the Penguin cartoon series. He has a number of children's books. The Last Basilica, Wishful Wings at Work. But this one is wonderful. Mars Need Moms. And Martians need their need mothers because they don't have anyone to fix their boo-boo. They don't have anyone to drive them to soccer. They don't have any of this. And they've been... Well, I'll read it to you. Milo just doesn't get what's so special about moms. As far as he can see, all they do is nag you to eat your broccoli and send you up to bed when you tint your little sister purple. So who needs them? Well, as it turns out, Martians do. And Martians have been trying to attract mothers by banking Starbucks coffee and drawing them along because they always need it. So Martians need monsters to kidnap Miles' mother to become their Martian mother, and Miles discovers how important a mother really is. And this book won the Golden Duck Award, I'll get onto that in a minute, for best children's paper illustrated picture book. It sounds delightful. Might not be easy to get here, but I know that Fantastic Planet, White Dwarf, or Planet Books would be more than happy to get it in for you. Richard Harland and Laura Peterson's Wolf Kingdom, books 1 to 4, are a picture book series aimed at your upper primary school age. Won the picture book of the year, was it? Won awards at the Children's Book Council Award as well. Highly recommended fantasy, high fantasy. For the younger viewer, the toddler, The Adventures of the Dish and the Spoon, the further stories of what happened when the dish ran away with the spoon. And the dish and the spoon are on the lam. They turn out to be a bit of a Bonnie and Clyde in the nursery rhyme world. So again, award winner, and written by the same author, the Traction Man series about the adventures of the child's toy. Really hilarious, beautifully drawn. Aimed at about 8-year-olds, but our 3-year-old loves having Traction Man read to her. The next book, also a picture book, Icarus at the Edge of Time, for an older, don't always assume, by the way, these days that picture book equals little kids. The winner of the Children's Book Council Award last year for Best Picture Book, very adult, and I wouldn't give it to anyone under about 16 because of the structure, the format, the language. It was called Requiem for a Beast, and it was about the rape and destruction of the Aboriginal people of Australia. And it came not only as a picture book, but it came with its own CD with music as well, inspired by it. But in Icarus at the Edge of Time is from one of America's leading physicists, a moving and visually stunning futuristic reimagining of the Icarus fable written for kids and those journeying with them toward a deeper appreciation of the cosmos. With a minimum of words set on 34 full-colour black board book pages, Icarus travels not to the sun but to a black hole, and in doing so poignantly dramatises one of Einstein's greatest insights. That's the sort of picture book I would have adored as a kid, because I loved all that space science. This book's a couple of years old, but you might not have come across it. It's a graphic novel called The Invention of Hugo Cabret, or Cabret, because it's French. It's only about 562 pages long, but it's only this big. And it's tiny. It's smaller than A5. I was supposed to say 6. Pardon?
It's really funny.
It's 560 pages long.
It's not really a graphic novel.
Well, he with pictures, an illustrated novel, and won best paperback, best picture book at the, which is called the Caldecott, the equivalent of the Newbery. Lovely, lovely, about Georges Méliès, the French filmmaker from the early 20th century. Beautiful, and I read it in like an hour and a half, even though it was 562 pages long, because it's a lot of illustrations that are like film strips, and like the storyboards are a film. Really good, highly recommended. And the last one I want to talk about here is Rapunzel's Revenge, which is for your younger reader. And in Rapunzel's Revenge, Rapunzel gets her revenge. She escapes. And it's set in a Wild West world. And again, when I was saying about value added, if you go to the website, it has a set of paper dolls that you can print out and colour and cut. And so there's Rapunzel, Rapunzel Jungle Rapunzel, Wild West Rapunzel, Deep Sea Diver Rapunzel, Cute as a Button Rapunzel, and my favourite, where is she here? Barbarian Warrior complete with your orc-like barbarian barbarian armour. So that's lovely, and Rose is very keen on having that. Mummy, I want that. So there's Children to Three illustrated. I've also looked at some fiction and a couple of associated books. Emily Rodder, very well-known Australian writer for kids. What's her series? I've forgotten now, but, you know, so many... Del Toro Quest. Yeah, many new series. The Rondo series, Wizard of Rondo, won the Aurealis for Best Children's Fantasy Fiction. Again, sounds delightful and available all around and locally released. And aimed at kids, you know, short chapters, properly set at your 8 to 10 year old level. ABC have brought out a series called The Lost Chimeron, is the name of the series, and it's lots of Australian authors like Tansy Rayner Roberts, Richard Harland, lots of the people who you'll see in Shiny magazine, in fact. Lots of the people from, who are Australian writers, and it's great. We've got Margot Lanigan, Tansy Rayner Roberts, Richard Harland, Rowena Corey Daniels, lots of those ABC shops. Aliens crash land in a lake, have crash landed in a lake, caused a lake, and a town has grown around it. In Australia, so set in Australia. D.M. Cornish, also Australian. You've probably seen around these Monster Blood tattoo books all around the place. And Lamplighter is the second one, also award winner. And it's a fantasy series, and again, very highly recommended. Savvy by Ingrid Law. For generations, the Beaumont family have harboured a magical secret. They each possess a savvy, a special supernatural power that strikes when they turn 13. Grandpa Bomber moved mountains. Her older brothers create hurricanes and spark electricity. And now it's the eve of Mibs's big day. And she wants to get a savvy that can save her father, who is in trouble. The Charlie Bone series, for your Harry Potter reader, who doesn't have anything left to read now, Charlie Bone series has been coming out for a while, but it's still being released. Charlie Bone, again, child of destiny without knowing it, boarding house setting full of evil people. Jenny Nimmo, English writer, again, really good websites if you want to go to it. I think the most recent one was The Red King. Children of the Red King was is the name of the possible series, but the main character is Charlie Bone. Yes, they are well written, yes. Shanghai to the Moon. Kids' actual science fiction novel, as they say in the tradition of Heinlein, Norton, that sort of adventure. Tomorrow's my birthday and my father is on the moon. There's no coincidence. 2 days ago, Dad blasted off to do an emergency job for the biggest aerospace company in the solar system. He didn't have to go. So this young man is Shanghai to the Moon, great adventure, science adventure. House of Many Ways, Diana Wynne Jones, recently released, the third in the Howl's Moving Castle series. So you will have seen Howl's Moving Castle, the next one being Castle in the Air. This one is called The House of Many Ways. And it again takes a different protagonist and Howl and the family turn up. And I have to mention, Howl disguised himself as a toddler. Suits him well. The next two books I brought on because I saw them and I thought I would have loved these. The Astronaut's Handbook is a book written for kids, heavily illustrated, about how you become an astronaut. Really, tells you the true story. If you want to be an astronaut, this is what you have to do. This is how you start doing it. I would have adored it as a kid. And the last one, because of course with the... You can either see Pluto as having been demoted from a planet, or you can see that we've added some. So National Geographic ran a competition to come up with a new mnemonic for the 11-planet now solar system with the microplanets. And the mnemonic that won was done by a 10-year-old. And here it is. My very exciting magic carpet just sailed under 9 palace elephants. So if you don't know, Mars, Venus, Earth, Mars's moon, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Ceres, asteroid now counted as a minor planet, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto now a minor planet, and Eris now counted as a minor planet. And I don't know how to pronounce K-U-I-P-E-R. Is it Kuiper?
Yes.
It's a body in the Kuiper belt, Eris, I gather. Yes. So there we are. So you have to learn to replace the ones that you've all grown up with. And it's a tour of the solar system, particularly bringing in the new way we do look at things. Now, I'm just running out, but the next two pages, where do I find these things? Where to find recommendations? I didn't put up the World Fantasy Award because, of course, I knew Jenny was talking about it, so you'll be able to find that. And there's not a young adult specific category.
And you only get who wins at the end of... Yeah, you'll get the shortlist, so it'll only be...
Yes. Golden Duck Award is specifically science fiction fantasy, from the youngest for the picture book level right up to the hard young adult. Dad Talk runs this bloggers award called The Sibyls. They have lots of categories including specific science fiction and fantasy, both for the younger reader and the general. You can see them all. Children's Book Council of Australia, not specifically science fiction, but the books turn up at times, although I suspect there's some sort of snobbery there. Every state has its own Kids Voted Book Award in Australia. Ours is Waibra, and you can find the others. The Aurealis Awards, of course, are science fiction and fantasy specific. The two American Library Association links are to where they list all their many sites, and there's recommended graphic novels, there's recommended gay lesbian fiction, there's books for reluctant readers, there's books for the college bound, there's books, there's huge amounts updated every year. Andre Norton Award is presented by the Science Fiction Writers of America, with their absolutely terrible website, and almost impossible to find anything about it at the moment. But their website was recently hacked about a couple of weeks ago, and so they're redoing their website.
Yes.
Other books, awards, general awards like the Carnegie Greenaway Awards in England, the Guardian Book Award, all sorts of things, general awards, but they all have young adult and children's categories where they'll often find fantasy and science fiction dystopic, particularly dystopic novels. And the Costa Book Awards used to be the Nestle Smarties Prize Book Awards. They've changed their names. And on my last page, review sites and places you might not know where to find things. Magpies is an Australian magazine, comes out quarterly. You can subscribe to it. It's not published on the net, but you may find it in your public library, and if you're a university student, for example, at ECU, it's all there on, you can get it all there online. West Australian Department of Education very, very kindly has a place called, a thing called CMIS, which has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reviews of books for kids, and by theme, by genre, and all sorts of awards listed. And you can see right through lots and lots of stuff. Teens Read 2 is a teenage book, one done reviewed by teens. So all these things come up with all sorts of stuff. So I hope you've enjoyed our panel, and we're running out of time, I know. If you didn't get a copy of the handout, there might be one or two left down the back. And thanks for coming.